Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. That's right. It is the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors. But we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everybody back. I am going to tell you about my visit to the blood bank, just so you'll think I'm a good person. No, that's not what it'll be about. It'll be about... Anyway, let's start in the Be All You Can Be file. That's right, it's the Be All You Can Be file. From Breitbart News, the Army is scrapping the leg tuck from its fitness tests. That's the United States Army, where if you can't be a Marine, well, be all you can be and join the Army. No, that I'm dating myself with that reference. That was the Army. That was before the Army of One. It was be all you can be. Anyway, the Army leg tuck exercise involved in the Army fitness test, it is said to have relied too much on soldiers' upper body strength. Upper body strength, that's right. Now they want to focus on core strength. You know, your core. Strengthen your core. Now, what is the leg tuck? The leg tuck requires a soldier to hang from a bar and raise their knees to their elbows. What was the minimum to pass the Army's grueling leg tuck test? One tuck. One tuck and you pass. And they had to scrap the test because, well, you know, that upper body strength is not very inclusive because it doesn't include people like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who called the test unfair. Why? Because Debbie doesn't have much upper body strength. The Army also announced that instead of a two-mile run, soldiers can now do a two-and-a-half-mile walk. Or possibly a three-mile stroll. Oh. Uh-huh. These adjustments, according to the Army, ensure fairness. This is according to a spokesperson for the United States Army. They tried to dress this up after the story came out. It was obvious that, you know, upper body strength, men and women, the differences and all that. That's all very offensive. And so spokespersons lined up to try to write this off. Well, you know, we're trying to compensate for older soldiers as well. Not just girls, but older soldiers, you know. Anyway, Chairman Xi and Vladimir Putin are in total agreement. This is good idea. Yes, just leg tuck. 3 mile stroll, much better. Because our tanks, they won't chase you if you're strolling. Okay, so there we have that from the Be All You Can Be file. And then I'm going to get to the blood bank. I'm going to get to the waitress. I'm going to get to the letter to my dentist that I wrote. And I'll get to some comments that were sent into the show. One of the 1.6 billion comments that pinged the show this past week. Only one of them made the cut. But for now, let's go to the science. Really? File? Did somebody fix that reverb? Yeah, it's really nice. Science. Really? Where USA Today is in competition with Ketanji Brown Jackson for who can be the most ridiculous and who can humiliate themselves to a greater extent in the public eye. And so far, USA Today comes out ahead. Now, you'll remember that Supreme Court nominee Ketanji Brown Jackson was unable to define the word woman during her confirmation hearing. This is according to Breitbart again. She claimed that she was not a biologist, implying that a biologist might be able to define a woman. Well, USA Today begs to differ. A little bit later in the week, USA Today released a commentary that stated that science says That's like Simon Says, except science instead of Simon. Science says there's no simple answer. That's according to USA Today reporter Aaliyah. Aaliyah claimed that even experts in science lack a sufficient way to clearly define what a woman is. Her essay quotes Rebecca Jordan Young, a self-described feminist scientist at Barnard College. She's a feminist scientist focusing on gender, sexuality, class, and race. So you'd think she'd be an expert because she focuses on... Well, actually, she could just say that she's obsessed with gender, sexuality. She could cut all the extra words out and just admit that she's actually just obsessed with sex. But she'd have to add one word, and that would be deviant. She's obsessed with deviant sex. That's her specialty. She's on the faculty for it. She says, quote, there's not even a singular, like, biological answer to the question of, like, what is a female? There isn't. Yeah, that's essayist. No, I'm sorry. That's Professor Rebecca Jordan Young. The essay also quotes a scholar from Harvard, not to be outdone. Harvard had to speak up. Professor Sarah from Harvard, who's focused on studies of women, gender, and sexuality. Again, you could just substitute the phrase, I'm obsessed with deviant sex, and that would pretty much describe Professor Sarah over there at Harvard. She says she agrees science cannot provide a sound answer to what a woman is. So science can't. So science. Okay, well, we'll just move on from that into the decline and fall file, appropriately enough, since we are about to nominate a human being to the Supreme Court who's willing to humiliate herself in front of the public, in front of God and everybody, and act as if she doesn't know what a woman is, even though she is one. So you're not allowed to know. You're not allowed to say. And that takes us to the decline and fall file, where one thing you are allowed to do is put deviant kisses in kids' films. The new film from Disney Pixar, which I will not name because I don't want to give any press to this pornography. The movie features a character in a gay relationship, and that don't mean happy, my friends. That means homo. That's right. Now, there was a deviant kiss between a couple of cartoon perverts, which are basically avatars of the production staff and writers at Disney, who are perverts. There was a kiss that had been cut from the film, but other deviants on the staff got upset and they filed a protest, and the kiss that had been cut got back in the film. And it turns out the kiss was only cut from the film in order to garner this particularly exact publicity that they're getting right now all over the internet, all over the local news, all over TV news, all over the radio. Everybody's talking about the protest that got the deviant kiss put back in the Disney film. And so their ends were met. And, of course, their means were justified no matter what. Variety, the magazine that used to write about Hollywood and acting and movies and now is just obsessed with deviant sex, Variety said that the kiss marks a possible major turning point for Pixar and Disney.
Turning point from what?
That's exactly what I wrote here in my scribbled notes that I can barely read. This is hardly a major turning point for Pixar Disney. This is just another minor swerve along the highway to hell for Disney Pixar. They're just swerving out of their lane a little bit is all. That's all. This is hardly. Yeah, okay, I think I've said that enough. Anyway, that's from the Decline and Fall file, where they have gotten all the press they're going to get from us. Let's just go from there to the politics file. where the new mayor of New York City is one Eric Adams. You folks remember Eric Adams, right? He was touted on Fox News as the conservative alternative to Warren Wilhelm Jr. You remember Warren Wilhelm Jr.? That's his real name. He called himself Bill de Blasio. That was his stage name. And everybody touted Eric Adams. He's tough on crime. He's the one who should win. Interviewed on Hannity. Anyway, Mr. Adams. Mr. Adams hired the Right Reverend Catherine Barrett Lane. He was one of Eric Adams' appointees to some department or other. And it turns out that the Right Reverend had written a book some time ago that called homosexuality a sin. A sin, I said. Ms. Barrett Lane is a pastor from Staten Island, and in her book, she equated homosexuality to pedophilia, stealing, lying, and other sins. You know, like the Apostle Paul does in the book of Romans. Shocking that a modern-day pastor would do that, but she did it. Well, hours after the New York Daily News reported on the book, the Right Scoop here reports that City Hall officials forced the Right Reverend to resign. Read that Eric Adams forced the resignation, because Eric Adams is the mayor. Now, he may not be as stupid or as froth-at-the-mouth tyrannical as the bozo, Warren Wilhelm. In fact, we were told he's tough on crime. He's good. He's good for the family. He's tough on the family? No, wait, he's good for the family. You know what he's good for, Eric Adams? He's good for the industry of crime. That's what he's good for. He's not so good for the family. Not so good for the family at all. And then so there you have it. That's what modern so-called conservative talk has degenerated to, reporting as if Eric Adams is an alternative to anything corrupt, leftist, liberal, seditious, destructive, all of that. He is all of that, Mr. Hannity. I'm sorry. From there, we go to the Voice of America file. Why the Voice of America file? Because we're going to report on Voice of America. Now, you may not remember Voice of America, but Voice of America used to be America's alternative to Marxist propaganda. There's TV and radio stations that broadcast throughout the world, especially behind the Iron Curtain, and a story would start like this. A story would come out of the propaganda machine in the communist world, and it would say Chinese officials say that they're fighting their worst COVID outbreak of the pandemic. Right? And then that would be, in the past, that would then be presented alongside skepticism and then the real story from the Voice of America. But no more. This entire article just is the Chinese propaganda. Very bad COVID outbreak. We must lock down. Everybody lock down. And so you read this whole story. It's 15 paragraphs, 300 words. You don't find the word death or hospital in the entire article. All you find is that there's 56,000 new cases, and so China's got their worst outbreak ever. Nothing about death, nothing about hospitalizations in the story, only lockdowns and testing. Testing, we've got to test. China's got to test. They've got to lock down and test. So now, instead of the Voice of America being America's bulwark against Marxist propaganda, the Voice of America, say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so. They're not against Marxist propaganda. Now they're merely another organ.
You're the only one for me. You're all I need, and I'll never.
It's the Weekly Worldview. That's right, I'm your host, hearkening back to the good old days when Voice of America was the voice of something resembling America. Speaking of that, speaking of something resembling America, I talked last week about a trip that my extremely attractive audio engineer and I took to the grocery store where we saw, well, we saw a representative of, well, what one listener calls Gen Z, which I think are the millennials, although I'm not sure. Anyway, I got a message posted up from Carson. He says, Doug, as a reluctant representative of the Gen Z age group, I believe I can shed light on the aptly named anime dead girl look. He says, I imagine the following being read in David Attenborough's voice. Who's that? Says my extremely attractive audio engineer, proving that we don't consume a lot of NPR here. Oh. Well, we'll see if it rings a bell, okay. Because we're going to invite Mr. Attenborough on to read the rest of Carson's message. So imagine the it's an aerial scene, right? Panoramic scene, and it zooms down into the department store there. And Mr. Attenborough comes on and he says, look there in the magazine aisle. Yes, it's another of the anime dead girls. This one appears in full regalia. Dirty laundry girded about her. The oversized shoes, the pale green matted hair. Gray fingernail polish and, of course, the pallid white face makeup. Heavily caked around empty eyes, bereft of anything approaching joy or even hope. These creatures were commonly referred to simply as fatherless amongst men my age. It is apt, as most of them actually have no father or even a father figure, since those are no longer allowed. One may see variations on the style, for example, this rare green-haired variant. Or, perhaps you've seen others, the choker necklace dead girl. Yes, that variety. Keep on looking, and one may perchance see the even rarer dog collar dead girl, yes. In fact, wearing a dog collar in public. And imagine the delight we might feel in getting close enough to offend her by failing to use her preferred they-them pronouns. Or close enough, perchance, to hear her whine when hearing statements of simple facts, such as, young lady, sex is determined by your chromosomes. These creatures, once exceedingly scarce in a society that acknowledged both genetic and moral facts, will they now flourish in the godless hellscape of postmodern society, gaining sustenance from those who insist ugliness is the new attractive? Oh, now, wait, this one, could it be, yes, look, she's carrying the filthy Hello Kitty doll. That's right. The one left over from back when she was happy. You know, before her parents' divorce. Thank you, Mr. Attenborough. We appreciate you coming up. It's kind of sad there, isn't it? In fact, Carson closes, jokes aside, indeed, Carson. Carson says, it's sad to see what a lack of any father figure in a few generations removed from Christianity or any sense of morality can do to someone. It is indeed sad, Carson, and we appreciate you listening, and you can be my writing partner anytime. I appreciate the input there. Again, the only comment of the 1.6 billion pings on the site this past week was Carson. He made the cut And so I will go now into the murder-suicide file, where if you've been listening to the news, you've heard an awful lot about Ukraine. Not just Ukraine, but what might happen in Ukraine. The Russians might bomb a nuclear reactor. They might use chemical weapons. A chemical weapons attack by Russia would be horrible. Terrible. Uh-huh. And now we have PJ Media reporting on the potential for a cyber attack by Russia, which they say, they remind us, would be bad. Oh, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. What's with all the cyber, biochemical, nuclear reactor propaganda going on? It's everywhere. PJ Media reports, the world is basically a giant computer with cloud-based networks controlling everything from sewage and wastewater to the electrical grid. And it's vulnerable to attack by determined and organized nations. Cyber attacks initiated by sovereign countries are not precision weapons like smart bombs. The collateral damage is unknowable and could actually rebound to damage the systems of the attackers themselves. In fact, PJ Media reports that war gamers are reluctant to even imagine a large-scale cyber attack. One former National Security Council member, a senior director there named Harry, says, quote, a cyber attack is like throwing a grenade but not knowing when or if or upon whom it will explode. It might even explode upon you. Pray no nation with a large cyber capacity goes to war deploying such weapons. We don't really know where it leads. So the pray? We've got a national security, someone from the National Security Council with the audacity to suggest that we pray. But don't be scared, folks. We just want you to pray that this doesn't happen. Mm. Let's see. Now, the author over at PJ Media says, the fact that you don't know who the grenade's going to blow up on, this is why Russia is reluctant to start a cyber war. Whew, boy, I was really starting to get scared of the Russians there. That was terrifying. They're reluctant because disabling or destroying all these world systems in the cloud would be akin to dropping a nuclear bomb and like that, you know. But not that you should be scared or anything. It's like dropping a nuclear bomb, possibly on yourself. You know, like COVID lockdowns, you know, but for real. You know, as opposed to the threat of destruction or significant collateral damage. We'd be talking about an actual catastrophe. The greatest murder-suicide in the history of mankind, which Putin could pull off at any moment. He'll probably launch the biochemical weapons first. Believe me, we've got our eyes out for that. That's it. That's from the murder-suicide file, ladies and gentlemen, because that's what that would be. You know, be scared. Be as scared as is appropriate, ladies and gentlemen. Now, from there, we visit with the post-millennial to bring you reason number 1,943 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, in particularly the Austin, Texas Independent School District. Over at Austin Elementary, they held a pride parade through the halls of the school. Yes, inside the school where, you know, parents can't see what's going on. Doss Elementary there in the Austin ISD they host pre-K through fifth grade. So that's 4-year-olds to little kids. And the 4-year-olds and the little kids were seen in a video posted up on Twitter by who? Was it a right-winger trying to uncover what was going on? No, it was the assistant principal, Hannah. Pride. The video was later deleted. But before it was deleted, you could see kids marching through the halls there at Doss Elementary, Austin ISD. Marching through the halls, waving pride flags, holding signs, and shouting, pride! Pride! 4-year-olds. Oh, but, you know, all the way up to little kids. Fifth graders, which, if I'm not mistaken, the Republican Party has said it's okay with fifth graders, but, you know, not third graders, for crying out loud. We have to draw the line somewhere. We're Republicans. This year, I guess that was from last year's Pride Fest inside the elementary. This year's Pride Parade was held all last week. Pride Fest lasts a week in the elementary school. That's reason number 1,943 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. And in anticipation of Pride Week, month, year, this week, last week, Austin ISD posted up the following. Each campus will receive an inspirational guide. For assistance, contact your campus GSA coordinator. What's the GSA? That's the Gay Straight Alliance. Why are we allied? Because we're with them. That's why. All right, that's reason number 1,943. Get or keep your children out. Should we just go right to reason number 1,944? Why not? Why not? It doesn't seem to be working. Although, didn't I have a story here? Hold on a second. I thought I had a story about, maybe that was last week. How many kids have left here we go. 120,000 students and families have disappeared out of the New York City public schools just in the last 5 years. Yes, the New York City Department of Education, they are concerned about a potential massive loss in their budget after 120,000 left the city's public schools over the past 5 years. And by the way, folks, that's before COVID. But the Weekly Worldview was on the air, along with Bob and Yart Live, Real Science Radio. I think the only voices of anything like this left. So was it that they were listening to us? No, unfortunately, it's just self-interest, which is honorable enough. I mean, when you realize what kind of abuse your children are subject to, you don't exactly have to be a paragon of moral virtue to try to get your kids out. Okay? Let's see. Who do we have here? David Banks. David Banks is the chancellor of schools. He's the chancellor. Sounds like a title in the Third Reich. Or maybe the Fourth Reich. Anyway, David Banks said the following. For our schools to deliver on their original promise of serving as the engine of the American dream, we will need to do things very differently, in ways that build trust, one big step at a time. Unquote. Okay, thank you, Dave. We appreciate your thoughts. Dave says, the biggest complaint I've heard is that parents have felt unheard and disrespected. I don't know why that would be. We now go to the city councilor there in the district, Rita. Rita says she wants to bring the kids back. She says, you know, we want to bring the kids back, but the environment has to also be inviting. I mean, these schools, look at them. Most of them look like jails. The colors are terrible. The settings are horrible. Unquote. Thank you, Rita. So Rita thinks it's the aesthetics there at the prison-like public school factories there in New York. It's not just the aesthetics, Rita. That's the least of your problems there. Let's see. More from administrators. How do we get families to re-engage and to trust and to want to come back into our schools? If we can do that, that'll solve these other financial issues. You know, talk about the short-sighted budget problem, but work diligently and tirelessly on the century-old long-term strategy of confiscating and corrupting the minds of a soft, gullible, lazy, and now thoroughly stupid populace in order to lord over them, which is the ultimate goal of the leftist mindset, is just to lord it over as many people as possible. Let up, bring it, ask, dance, nightmare, rock and roll, dream. You can make it, baby. Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us and all of that good stuff, ladies and gentlemen. Should I do the blood bank or should I do the waitress? I'm going to do the waitress because it's not quite as... The blood bank thing might offend a lot of people, which is the last thing I want to do. So my extremely attractive audio engineer and I went out to eat because we worked in the yard yesterday all day. Even into the sunset and darkness we worked, working with facilities for the livestock. And so we were hungry. So we went out and we ate. We had a good meal. And after the meal, the waitress approached the table with the pay-by-tablet option. Have you seen this since COVID? In order to slow the spread, they've come up with this pay-by-tablet where they give you the bill and then they bring the tablet and the waitress puts the tablet in front of you and says, oh, here, it's just going to ask you a couple of questions. A couple of questions having to do with your tip for me. And I'm going to stand right here and watch. I hate that. It makes me want to not tip. And I've been tipping quite generously since COVID and all the restaurant people were shackled in chains and put out of work and sent to the poorhouse. I've been trying to do my part. Could you not stick the tablet in my face and make me tip the waitress right in front of her while she looks up with those puppy dog eyes? Ooh. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. All right. So anyway, if you hate it, then you can relate to that. Can you relate to reason number 1,944 to get or keep your children out of government schools? We go back to Austin, Texas, believe it or not, which Texans will tell you is a little piece of San Francisco that needs to be excised from the state, but hangs on like a really bad disease or a cyst. Well, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is drawing the line. He sent a letter to the Austin Independent School District last week, letting them know that their Pride Week curriculum is in violation of state law. How's that, Mr. Paxton? He said in his letter, quote, before a student may be provided with human sexuality instruction, a district must obtain the written consent of the student's parent. A parent? Singular? Singular by default, shouldn't it be parents? And then in some cases, it might be parent. No, not anymore. It's parents. We assume there's only one parent because, well, it's the Austin ISD. So Ken Paxton says that as long as you get a relatively stupid, lazy parent to give permission, then the teachers are okay to molest the minds of the children and with their obsession with deviant sex. But Paxton's drawing the line, telling them they better follow the rules. Better follow the rules when you molest those children's minds. Paxton went on bravely to encourage parents to file grievances with the deviant perverts at the Texas Education Agency, where I'm sure they will produce immediate results. Anyway, Mr. Paxton, Texas Attorney General, you should encourage parents to get your kids out of the government schools. If you do not do that, Mr. Paxton, in light of everything we've seen and heard and read and watched on video and cringed, if you're not encouraging parents to get their kids out, you are not qualified for public office, Mr. Paxton. You should resign. You should realize that there should be no rules around human sexuality instruction in the government schools. There should be no rules around it because it shouldn't be there. But it is in there, and Mr. Paxton wants to, let's just get out of here with that. All right. Now, I was not aware of this next story from the War File, and I'm ashamed to admit it, but I'm going to admit it, and I'm going to make myself more aware of what's going on. Did you people know that there is a civil war going on in Ethiopia? Crickets. Roosters. That's all you'll hear. Because nobody's really aware that I wasn't really aware. I mean, I was aware to some degree in the background. I had heard. I know things are rough in Africa. Ethiopia hasn't had it good in about 2,500 years. But what I did not realize was that 500,000 people have been killed in the Ethiopian Civil War in the past year and a half. 500,000 people. To put that into perspective, Jack Posobiec of Human Events posted up on Twitter that 500,000 have been killed in the Ethiopian Civil War in the past 16 months. In Ukraine, deaths just passed 1,000. As far as we know, 1,000 people have died. And the entire world is focused like a laser. You've got maniacal Joe Biden, who, when that guy's awake and aware, he's dangerous. Calling for Putin to, this, he cannot stay in power. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Well, they tried to come out and explain what that was supposed to mean, but that's not what it sounded like it meant to me. Or anyone else with an IQ above 40 who's actually paying attention. But there are few of us out here, so Biden's got that going for him. 500,000 people in Ethiopia. Yet we're not arming the good guys. Probably there are no good guys in the Ethiopian Civil War. It's not like Ukraine, where you've basically got George Washington on this side of the Delaware trying to hold off Vladimir Putin. He said sarcastically, tongue-in-cheek. All right. And then from there, we will dive back into the science, sadly, file. Sadly, this time. Now, first, we start with good news. Scientists recently were able to communicate with a late-stage ALS patient using a brain implant that allows the patient to select letters and form sentences. ALS, commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, is a neurological disease that destroys the nerves that control movement. So in late stage, one cannot communicate with the outside world. You're a prisoner inside your own body, inside your own mind. Well, this patient was the first known person in his condition to use such a brain implant to actually communicate with the outside world. The patient began working with a research team at the University of Tübingen back in 2018. And he told the team back then, when he could still communicate, that he wanted an invasive implant to try to maintain communication with his family. And so he and his family consented to the experimental treatment, this invasive electrochemical or electromechanical, I'm not sure. A very sophisticated implant was put in his brain. And eventually, the patient was able to form dozens of sentences at a rate of about one character per minute. One of the first sentences that the patient constructed was the following, quote, "I would like to listen to an album by Tool." Yes. Loud. Unquote. Folks, when all of the fruits of a society's technological medical advancement lead primarily to facilitating a desire for and the consumption of evil, that society must of necessity fall. Just sad. You may not be familiar with this particular band. They're evil. Dark evil. The darkest evilest. And they're from 20 years ago. I don't even know what's going on now. I'm afraid to listen to what's going on now. But that's where we are. A sad commentary. So now let's go to the blood bank. Do we want to go to the blood bank? I like to go to the blood bank. Why? Because I like to give blood. My extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we started giving blood at the beginning of the COVID lockdowns. Back when we realized that people were actually going to take this seriously, we had some concern that if we were out and about, it's quite possible somebody might ask us, where are you going? Show us your papers. Where are you going? And so we decided, let's go give blood. That seems essential. So we've been giving blood about every two months ever since then. And there's always been this volunteer lady at the blood bank sitting in the corner in front of the refrigerator. And she looks like your grandma, just a sweet, beautiful, kind-hearted old lady volunteering at the blood bank to help you out. After you give your blood, you come out into the waiting room and she has a refrigerator with ice cream and apple juice and cookies. She's just a dear, sweet woman. We walked into the blood bank last week. And immediately upon entering, she shot up out of her chair and put her hands over her face and shouted, mask, mask, do you have a mask? Like she could see the viral load dripping out of our noses, threatening everyone. And I said, we don't want a mask. I said, are you still participating in this ludicrous social theater? And she started to get a little bit bent out of shape, did Grandma, dear, sweet, kindly Grandma. And she said, well, the CDC guidelines are what they are. I said, you know what they are? They're a Marxist humiliation ritual that you have no right to enforce on other people. And she got red in the face and she said, something, something, F something. This is not your grandma's grandma. And needless to say, I went ahead and gave blood. And as I came out of the donation area into the waiting room where sweet grandma would normally be in charge of, do you want ice cream? Do you want water? We have cold water. We have room temperature. Normally, she would say all that because that's what she's in charge of. So those of you who think that she's a friendly, kindly grandma who just wants to help people, no, that's not what this lady's about. She's about being in charge of her little fiefdom in her little corner of the blood bank where she gets to distribute the ice cream and the apple juice. She gets to help you make decisions, and she times and makes sure that you stay there for 15 minutes. And every time someone gets up from a table, she jumps and pounces on it with a spray bottle and a filthy rag. And she polishes it as if she's cleaning it because that's her thing. That's her fiefdom. The masks and the scrubbing. She's the enforcer. So that's the end of the story. Oh, anyway, she didn't ask me if I wanted ice cream like she normally did before we had this little dust up. Grandma was friendly, but I had told her, you know what? I don't want anything from you. Get away from me. And she was like, well, I never. And I said, you never. I said, I'm not kidding. You are just playing. I'm not playing. The liberty that you have is not your own, lady, and you don't have the right to so frivolously give it away, and you certainly don't have the right to give away mine. It's the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Don't get me wrong. I want to be friendly with grandmas everywhere. Yeah, her. But not enforcers. And so that brings me to my letter to my dentist. I went down to the dentist's, and I was experiencing some tooth pain. Now, I went into the dentist for a cleaning. And when I said I've been experiencing some tooth pain, the dentist came in himself. Not only did he come in, he performed a procedure that relieved the pain. So I was happy at that point, but I had been unhappy earlier because when I came into the office, the lady at the front desk said, "Sir, do you have a mask?" I said, "I do not." She said, "Do you need one?" I said, "I do not." She said, "But you do." I said, "No, I don't." She said, "Well, you know, the CDC, they lump us in with medical." I said, "The CDC doesn't lump you in with medical." I said, "You are medical. He's a doctor." This is DDS after his, he's a doctor. He's supposed to be practicing medicine. He has the authority to determine how medicine is practiced in his office. And she, and I said, "Listen, I don't want to have a thing with you. I'll put the mask on. It's not you. I like you just fine." After the procedure, I came out and I talked to her. I said, "Listen, I'm really sorry." I said, "I know it must be really awful for you to have to enforce this." And she almost came to tears. She said, I know. I don't know when it's going to end." And she grabbed the mask and she pulled it and popped it like three times against her nose. She was like, I don't know when it's going to end. And I said, "Well, I'm going to do my best to end it, at least in this office. I'm going to let management know how I feel." So I wrote this letter to my dentist. "Dear Mr. Dentist, thank you for your treatment of my molar last week. When I visited for my cleaning, the sensitivity is reduced and continues to improve. Your skills and services, as well as those of your excellent staff, have been invaluable to our family since we arrived in town. Thank you. You, doctor, are a person of considerable education and stature in the community, as well as being an important employer and professional. Hence, I am compelled to pass on a message of some import. You, sir, are a doctor. You practice medicine. No one has authority to interfere with the medical advice or treatment you provide, especially those who have never examined your patients. I beseech you, and everyone in medicine, to reassert the authority you so diligently earned with all propriety and confidence. Stop allowing bureaucrats and politicians with no pertinent credentials to dictate the practice of medicine in your office. When you surrender your liberty by participating in social theater, by covering your face while you're in public in between meals and not in the break room, but in public at work, you are not only undermining the credibility of medicine, you are surrendering something, liberty, that men I knew have fought for and bled and even died for. Our liberty is not ours alone to give away, sir. Furthermore, when men like you, in legitimate authority, sacrifice your employees' liberty by insisting upon their participation and even enforcement of such irrational behavior at the behest of authorities who by now have so far outstepped their rightful jurisdiction as to be rightfully judged as petty tyrants, you, sir, are doubly responsible. The liberty attained by our forefathers, paid for in blood, is a sacred gift of which every one of us must be the guardian. Those same forefathers also gave us the practice of medicine, of which you are one of the few rightful and sole stewards. Please consider this message with all gravity. Tyrants seek whom they may devour, and God in heaven and history are watching you and me with an unflinching eye. Sincerely," and all of that. I want to send this to every doctor in the country. Unfortunately, they're not all my doctors, but virtually every doctor I've come into contact with, well, not virtually every. Every doctor I've come into contact with since this insanity began has heard that message to one degree or another. Although that is a much more concise and complete version of, well, I haven't gotten it all out at some offices because I've been escorted out, I've been screamed down, I've been hollered at, I was even sucker punched. So, but there you have it. So that's a better way to do it, is instead of me ranting and screaming and turning purple in my face, I just write a letter afterwards and try to get the doctor to think about it. All right. And now, speaking of thinking about it, we go to the Wars and Rumors of Wars file from Zero Hedge, who report that by 2021, China had panic hoarded half the world's corn and other grains, resulting in increased food inflation. I know they want us to believe this is all to do with how evil Vladimir Putin is and how he's insane. He might use chemical weapons. He might blow up a nuclear reactor. There could be a cyber attack. He's insane. He can't stay in power. Joe Biden invoked the name of God. He actually said, "Dear God, this man cannot remain in power." How do you think? How are we supposed to take that, Mr. Biden? Is it possible that Joe Biden wants to destroy evidence in Ukraine against his degenerate son, and he's willing to blow up the world to do it? I think it's possible. Back to China. Sorry, I got distracted by the propaganda there. So China started hoarding food back when the lockdown started, and China's buying spree, according to Zero Hedge, left many market observers puzzled. But now we understand. Forecasting a global catastrophe of widespread famine due to disrupted food supply chains seems to be the motivation. Global food supplies were already tight post-COVID. Shortages will materialize in emerging market economies, which that means people in Africa are going to starve to death. And this time, not just from the war and the evil religion that's foisted upon them. It will actually be a shortage of grain, wheat, and corn. Xi Jinping, Zero Hedge reports, has apparently made the right decision, stockpiling food. However, Xi now has an emerging food production problem. What's that? Lockdowns. Lockdown, no problem. Starvation, why is this problem? This is a wrong tradition. As long as managed properly, obedient party members will not starve. At least not the ones Xi choose to feed. At least not now. Watch yourself. That's right, China's locking down. They locked down. I think there's 30 million Chinese under lockdown right now. I think I reported on it last week. But don't worry. We do this all the time. This been done. Remember Chairman Mao? He did it right. We read his book. Yeah, right. Meanwhile, spring break's going on here in the West, where the apex of medical technology brings the desire to hear a Tool record. Down in Miami Beach, they can't control the college students. Amidst the gunfire and the rapes and the beatings and the thefts, the mayor, or is it the city manager? The governing officials there have declared a state of emergency during spring break. City manager Alina and Mayor Dan gave a press conference. Well, they made an official an announcement. And I think they actually stood up in front of the cameras. And Mayor Dan said, "If you want to see what a very frustrated and angry mayor looks like, you're looking at him. Go ahead and look. We can't endure this anymore," said Dan. And then he implemented a midnight curfew. And he said of the spring breakers circa 2022, "This isn't your mother's and father's spring break." Unquote. Well, actually, Mayor, it is. But, you know, with gunfire instead of herpes. That's But it's pretty much the same thing. Mayor Dan went on to say, what I saw this year made me almost cringe. Almost cringe. Oh, that's the police chief. I'm sorry. He almost cringed. And then he said, we have to do something. And so what did they do? Well, like most leftists, they are doing their best to make it so that wicked, corrupt people can't commit crimes. How? Well, we're going to have a midnight curfew. We're going to stop selling alcohol at 6 o'clock. They're going to make it so they can't. Well, at least after midnight. They need to make it so they won't. But they don't even know how. They have no clue even how. And I don't even want to go into it because I've talked myself blue in the face. The criminals need to be punished swiftly and painfully and all right. But why don't we just make crime vanish? We can do that according to the Powerline blog. Geniuses up in San Francisco have figured out how to solve the massive crime epidemic going on up there. What have they done? Well, they've stopped collecting and reporting crime data. That's it. And so because they're not feeding the data to the FBI, the FBI was unable to provide San Francisco's statistics in the National Crime Report. Voila, alakazam, there you go. Yeah. That's one way of reducing the crime rate, says Powerline Blog. Well, and I appreciate the snarkiness of the Powerline Blog, but gentlemen, the time for cutesy snarking is long past. It's long past. Time is short. Things are coming to a critical head here. And it's time to stop joking and yucking it up about this. This is serious. All right. Where do we go from here? Into the mind control file. The mind control. No, not the paranoid kind. From 20 years ago with the fluoride and the contrails, not that kind. I'm talking about for real, real mind control. The headline from Zero Hedge, Ukraine blocks trans women refugees. What? Yeah, Ukrainian officials say trans refugees are men. They must go back and fight. So I have to give a possible spoof alert right now. I just don't know if this is even a real story. Zero Hedge goes on, though, dutifully reporting that the Ukrainian government is refusing to allow transgendered women to leave the country. Are those women? Are they men? Are they transgendered? Which way have they gone? Don't ask those questions. It's all very confusing. But apparently this would be men dressed as women because they want them to go back and join the fight. Zero Hedge says that since Ukraine enacted martial law back on February 24th, it's estimated that hundreds of trans women have tried to cross the border. And I'm like, really? Who estimated that? I mean, who's... Oh, this is a report from the Guardian newspaper, which is a pile of deviants who they would estimate, no matter what happens, they would be focused on estimating how many trans were involved. That's... the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association, the similarly obsessed people, they report that Ukraine ranks 39th out of 49 European countries for its overall treatment of LGBTQ plus people. And by treatment, they don't mean trying to help the people. They mean entertaining their delusions of... surrounding their obsession with, deviant sex, like I said before. And they also report that the church there in Ukraine still considers homosexuality a sin. Mm. And there are no anti-discrimination laws to protect LGBTQ people. LGBTQ. That you just say homos, queers, deviants, or perverts. Couldn't? HQDP. No, that's not. That doesn't work. It has to be easier to enunciate. In fact, I remember when LGBT first came out, when it was first a phrase, it was in conflict, I remember, with the natural, standard, acceptable aesthetic of enunciation. I mean, we've always felt a natural compulsion to make things easy to say. You know, hence the phrase, roll off the tongue. Roll off the tongue is easy to say. Why? Because it rolls off the tongue. I mean, it not only defines that principle, but it is that. It exemplifies that principle. And LGBTQ violated that because LG is, it's difficult to say. LGBT, it was, anyway. But, you know, the perverts hate everything normal. And so they forced the LGBT upon us, and then they added the Q and the plus, and but we're not going to play here. No, it's HQD. No, HQDP doesn't work. We're going to make it easier. It's DPQH, DPQH, deviants, perverts, queers, and homos. And we're going to leave the trans out because that's beyond the pale. We're not even going to bring that up as a topic of discussion. Got to draw the line somewhere. All right, that's it for the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank my friends at Real Science Radio and, of course, my other brother, Darryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview studio, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. Indeed, we will. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.